Let's take just a moment and pray, and then we'll get full into class here. Father God, we thank you so much for this day and for this opportunity to be in your presence. And Lord, we thank you because of your grace that is sufficient for all. Father, we just ask you, over the time of this course, each day as we present what you would give us, Lord, we just ask that there be divine grace deposits made and divine truth impartations into the spirits, the hearts of the hearers. Lord, that truth may abound and that your Spirit may work and may imprint and etch in the hearts of the hearers the truths of your word that you would, Lord. That those may go forth from this place in the power of the Spirit, taking your truth to the captives to set them free for your glory. And Father, we ask that you be glorified, that you be lifted up, that you be exalted and extolled in this place. We ask it, we believe you for it, and we thank you for it and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, while our monitors are passing out these several things, we're going to take the syllabus as soon as you get one and go over it and begin to examine some things about it. And we want to introduce the course to you and introduce myself a little bit to you so that you'll know how I think and what I expect of you and what you can expect of me. And we're going to have a good time. Amen. Amen. You believe that? And we'll get some good things accomplished at the same time, but we'll have a good time in the Lord. And you know, there's just nothing grander to me than enjoying and savoring the truth of God's Word. The Bible said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And He is good, amen? And we'll do some good eating in here. Not because of me, but because of the Word of the Lord, amen? Because the Word of the Lord is good eating, and every day the Holy Spirit will give us what we need to have. Now, we have certain basic truths that we go over each term, of course. But I'll just be honest with you. We haven't gone over them the same way with any two groups. Because each group is different, you see. Everybody's different, and the Holy Ghost knows what you need to hear exactly the way you need to hear it. The truth is the same, but some of the approaches can be different. And so I want you to believe God with me each class session to have the message for that time and for that hour. Amen? I have a responsibility, of course, but you have a responsibility to believe God with me. And I'm very serious about what we do in this class. Healing to me is not just a side issue. Healing to me is not just something that we could be enamored with because it's the spectacular supernatural. Healing is the heartbeat of some things of the gospel. Amen? I mean, it's very important. Thank you, sir. You go ahead and take this if you like. And healing is something that I've been involved with since the beginning of my ministry, which hasn't been that long. When I say that, I mean the beginning of my involvement in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's been the major thrust. When I came to Rhema, from my first year, I began to be involved with the healing school. It was set up much differently than it is now. And the Lord put some things in my heart, and I've been with healing school for several years now. And have taught on the subject of healing sometimes as much as four times a day and deal with the sick sometimes usually always five, sometimes 6 and 7 days out of the week. And so, of course, that doing it that much, you'd either have it in your heart or you'd get sick of it by that time, you know. But we have it in our heart to help folk that are needy and they're in the area of physical things. And there are some specific things that you can do to help folk that are sick. How many of you, your life has been touched by healing? And how many of you, I mean, healing was a principal thing that attracted you to this ministry and to the ministry of Brother Hagin and to different areas that have to do with Rhema? Healing and miracles and things of that nature, that was one of the things that just stood out to you and got your attention and drew you. Probably many of you, isn't that right? And so you don't ever want to lose sight of your first love. I mean, some of you, that was really the first thing that caught your attention and began to draw you into this thing that we call the charismatic move or the word and faith move, was healing or prosperity or both of them. But healing has been something that's drawn thousands upon thousands to the Lord. It was in His ministry. It was in the ministry of His apostles and disciples. It is still the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Still the same. It hasn't changed. And so we're very serious about the ministry of healing. Now, does everyone have a syllabus now? Okay, if you don't have a syllabus, then hold up your hand and we will. Okay, this entire section over here doesn't have any, so if somebody would be so kind as to get them some. We'll go ahead and begin to look at the syllabus and begin to go over it in some detail. Not very much, but some. And just read the purpose to you. Now, in your syllabus, if you will look, please. It says, of course, the course will last 8 weeks for a total of 24 class sessions. The purpose of Christ the Healer we have here is to establish the biblical doctrine of healing provided in the plan of redemption, available to all by grace through faith. Now, really, if you would just scratch out number two, because that's not going to be an element in our teaching in this term. The Lord led us a little differently. How many of you know that you learn things as you go? Okay. Well, I've learned some things as I've gone this year, and we were impressed to just emphasize this one point here because of the limited time and different things. Well, this is the thing that we're going to deal with, is establishing the biblical doctrine of healing provided in the plan of redemption and available to all by grace through faith. Now, let me just give you some things that will help you in your thinking to know something about me and what you can expect of me and to know what I expect of you. First of all, as I said, I want you, please, to believe God with me for the revelation of God's Word concerning each class session and each class time. You are not going to receive from me. You'll be receiving from God. Now, of course, you may already know that, but it helps to emphasize that. And I'm not going to be endeavoring to minister to your head. We will be ministering out of our spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to your spirit. Sometimes Bible school students, and I know because I used to be one, and still is one, amen? Now see, if you ever cease to be a student, that implies you know all there is to know, you see. So we are Bible students. But sometimes Bible students, in sitting where you're sitting, they have a tendency to be critical and judgmental because knowledge puffs up. Right? That's what the Bible said. Knowledge puffs up. And so sometimes people learn a few little things and they really don't know how ignorant they are. They really don't understand how dumb they are. You know what I'm saying? And so they think they really know something. And they learn a few scripture references. They learn a few numbers. They can quote some King James verses verbatim. They know some order to some things. And they're watching meticulously for every little flaw that might come through. And they catch flaws galore. They catch mistakes galore. And they usually miss the main thing God was saying. Are you listening? I know this from experience in dealing with people. I know this. I exhort you. Be teachable. Be humble. Don't listen to try to find mistakes in grammar or mistakes in homiletics or mistakes in any of those things, because if you look for them, you're going to find them. Whether it's with me, you'll find lots of them. And with other folk, you're going to find some. I don't care who they are if you look hard enough. I want you to be looking for the revelation of God's Word. I want you to be listening to what the Lord is saying to you about the truth that we are endeavoring to bring forth by the Spirit of God. And the Holy Ghost will teach us as we do. Amen? I want you to do that. I want you to be thinking of that. So we're going to be believing God. And you'll find I pray this usually every time. I ask the Father God, I ask Him in Jesus' name, that there may be divine grace deposits made, and that there may be divine truth impartations into the Spirit. Amen? And so we're going to believe that, and we believe that'll happen. Now, also, don't necessarily try to, you know, a little note here on taking notes in my class, a little thing to remember. Don't try to write everything down. Try to, when you're taking notes, just try to major on the majors. And if you're concerned about the material that's going to be on the test, I will emphasize the material that's going to be on the test. I usually preface it with something like this. This is very important. I want you to remember this. Amen? Simple. I'll repeat it. I'll go over it. And there are no questions on our test that are designed to confuse or to trip you up. We want to major on the majors. We want to major on the major thrust of the theme that we were dealing with. And no need to try to be so meticulous about things. When you're looking at the test, at the midterm and the final, then think in context of what we were dealing with in the class. So you can be meticulous about anything and pull it apart and try to say, well, this could be a possible answer to that. This could be... No, what were we talking about in the class, you see? And if you just pay attention in the class, you won't have any trouble at all with my exams. And so we want you to be attentive and to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, because you know the devil is not afraid of straight-A report cards. Do you know that? I mean, you can make a perfect report card and you can get out of here and be defeated ministerially. Do you know that? You can wave your Rhema report card and say, yeah, but I made straight A's. And the devil will laugh in your face. It's not the test that you receive here, though they're important, though you should do excellently on them. It's not the tests here that really make the difference. It's the test out there. It's where you put this truth into application and into operation, and you're successful there, and you make an A there. That's the thing that counts. And when you make an A, see, what happens? People get healed. Amen? That's what counts. Now, as we said, the things that will appear on the test, we're going to emphasize those. We're going to major those. You don't have to worry about those. I'll give you the dates for your exams if you like now. As far as I know, if there's any changes, we'll let you know. But as far as I know, midterm will be April 24th. Your midterm will be April 24th, and your final will be May 22nd. April 24th will be your midterm. That's on a Friday. And then also your final will be on a Friday, May 22nd. Now, if you have any questions concerning the material that we are covering in class, and by that I mean questions that specifically dealing with what we are covering in the class session at that period of time, then you may write that question down and turn it in to me. You can leave it on the podium here, either before or after class. And I don't necessarily desire to discuss these things before or after the class. You know, different people do things differently, but I prefer, we have a limited amount of time between classes, and I have a class after this one. And I like to be thinking before I'm going to teach, I like to be thinking on that one thing. I don't like to be scattered on a bunch of different things. I like to zero in on that. And I'm just on one track, you know. Don't talk to me about the weather, about anything, until I get through with that. And then when I get through with this, I get on the other track. I have to change gears completely, and I get on track of my second hour class, and I'm on that, like a dog on a trail, until I get through with that. So I don't like to entertain a bunch of questions in between. Besides that, we don't have time. You know, you have to get to class. We just don't have time. That's the way I prefer to do it. If you have a question, a legitimate question, a question that you've thought about, a question that deals with the material that we are at present covering in the classes, then you can write it down and you can turn it in. Now, I'll say this. I may not deal with the question at all. I may or I may not. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to answer or deal with every question that you turn in, because we have a lot of material. As we get into the class, you'll see we have a lot of material that we're covering each time. And so our class time is very valuable. We just don't have time. But now if we believe that it is important enough to take some time, a minute or two to deal with, we will. And don't be offended if we don't. But we just have to, we have to weigh the thing and see how it affects the whole, you see. And of course, a lot of times people have questions that if they just sit tight, they'll be answered before the course is over, because we just haven't gotten to it yet. And if I don't answer it, that may be the case, you see, that we're just going to get to it later. Now, I have two things that I will ask you not to do. Two things, and I want you to please remember them. In dealing with me, I'm basically a very easy guy to get along with, no problems. I believe in being full of joy and walking in love and just having a good time in the Lord. But two things that I don't want you to do, please. First of all, I ask you, don't ask me questions about things that other teachers within the school are teaching you about. Okay? If you've got a question about what they're teaching you, ask them. Don't ask me. Why? Well, I might not know. Besides that, it's their course, you see. And, of course, they know what they were dealing with, and you might have heard one thing, and something that they didn't say at all, and you come tell me they said this, and they didn't say it, and just a misunderstanding, we just don't get into that. Because I know the gentleman, I know the people that are teaching in the school, and I know that they're good people, and I know that they're sound, and I just don't, whatever they're teaching, you know, I just say offhand without examining it, I'd say, you know, that it's good doctrine, and I just don't want to touch it. Amen? If you have a question about something I'm teaching, don't ask them. They weren't here. They don't know. Ask me. If you have a question about what they're teaching, don't ask me, because I don't know. Ask them. And here's the second thing. Never, I repeat, never speak to me negatively about other ministers. I don't care who they are. I don't care if you're just repeating what somebody else said. Don't do it. You might be offended. I might walk off and you talking. Are you listening? Because I'm very serious about this. That's one thing that really kind of grates me. You know, a lot of things don't, but that does. That kind of rubs me the wrong way. So don't do it. Don't speak to me negatively at all. Anything about you brothers and sisters, especially about your fellow ministers. Don't. Okay? We'll be fine. Now, let's get into the class, get into the material of the class, the class material that we want to deal with. We want to give you some things that will establish the doctrine of divine healing. You remember that the Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable, and he mentions several things here. It is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the first one, it said, it is profitable for doctrine. And that's what we want to deal with first of all. We're going to deal with some correction and reproof in some other areas later on at the end of the term. But for the first part, we're going to deal with doctrine. The doctrine of divine healing. Now, you'll find that in teaching divine healing and dealing with healing, there are two major areas. And I want you to remember this. This is very important. There are two major areas that you need to emphasize in getting people healed and in getting people to receive divine healing. Number one is producing faith. And number two is releasing faith. Now we're going to say that in some different ways, but suffice it to say it like this right now. Producing faith. Number one. Number two, releasing faith. Now you'll notice that there are about 19 individual cases of divine healing recorded in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now you might think there's more than that, but really, you know, because some writers say a lot of times the same healing is recorded in three of the Gospels. It's three accounts of the same happening, and yet it's just one healing. Now, there were accounts where many were healed, multitudes were healed, but we're talking about just individuals. There are about 19 of those. Now, of course, you'd add to those the demoniacs that were set free and the dead that were raised, and you'd have, of course, over 20. But there are 19 individual accounts of people being healed. Now, you'll find something very interesting, that of the majority of those, actually about 12 of those 19, their faith was mentioned, or referred to, or alluded to in their healing. Now, that tells us something very important, because our ministry is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is our example, and His ministry is the one that we're to follow. If the majority of the people under Jesus' ministry, not all of them, but the majority of them, were healed, and their faith had something to do with their healing, then we can expect that the majority of the people that we minister to, their faith will be a determining factor in their healing. Now, not always is the person's faith a factor. There are people that are healed and their faith was not a factor. They were healed by gifts of healings. They were healed by workings of miracles. They were healed through intercessory prayer. They were healed through... There are several different ways people can be healed. But you'll find that the majority of people, like I said, 12 of these 19 individual cases, the majority of people, their faith, is going to be a determining factor in their healing. Now, since that's the case, then we need to work on the areas that'll produce faith for people to be healed. Sure, we're going to have people, if we believe God and go on and follow the Lord and develop and mature in spiritual things, we'll have people healed through gifts of healings. We'll have people healed through workings of miracles. We'll have people healed through some of these spectacular manifestations of the Spirit. But that is not the way most people are going to be healed. Are you listening? I said that is not the way. And through special manifestations of the Spirit. Some will be. Thank God for that. We want to believe God for more of that. But some of these things have to do with signs and wonders. Some of these things have to do with demonstrations of God among those who don't know much. But you're going to find that especially in the church, most people are going to be helped as a result of their own faith. That doesn't mean that they're just all out on their own. We can help them with our faith. We can help them with a lot of things. But their faith will be a determining factor in their healing. Now, if that be the case, that most people are going to be healed, not all, but most people, the majority, 12 of the 19 were, most people are going to be healed as a result of their faith, then our job becomes very evident in helping to produce faith to be healed among the masses. Now, what is it that causes faith to come? Well, Romans 10:17, as every good charismatic knows, says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," or as other translations say, the word of Christ, or the word concerning Christ. So faith comes by hearing the word. We know that. But the word is a big subject. Isn't that right? I mean, when you say faith comes by hearing the word, and so many times people say, "Well, how do I get faith?" You say, "Well, you need to hear the word." I said, "What do you mean the word?" "Well, the Bible." "The Bible? That big thing?" "Well, which part of it?" You ever had anybody ask you that? "Well, which part am I supposed to look at? What part am I supposed to listen to?" You know? It's not enough just to tell people you need faith. They say, "Okay, sure, right, faith. Where do I get it?" "Well, you need to hear the word." "Okay, what word?" "Well, the word, dummy, the word." Nah, that's just what a dummy you are. Are you listening? You know, ministers have had a rotten attitude. It's shown their immaturity in getting people healed. They've had the idea, "Well, you know, it's my job just to put it out there. And if they get it, you know, they get it. If they don't, it's not my fault. I did my job. I put it out there." Well, did it ever occur to you, if you put it out right, more people would be getting it? Did it ever occur to you that maybe it wasn't their fault they weren't getting it? Maybe you just were messing it up so much, putting so much of your own thinking in there and mixing it up, making it so hard, making it so complicated that people were having a hard time getting it. It's a lot more responsibility on the minister than a lot of people like to think. Oh, you just throw it out there, and I've heard people say this. People in the ministry. Well, I've put it out there. That's as far as I can do it. You know, that's up to them now. That's a rotten attitude. I said, that's a rotten attitude. That's no love. Love says, man, I'm with you for the duration. Whatever it takes for you to get a hold of it, hey, we'll say it a different way. Did you get it that time? Mm-mm. Okay, let's try it like this. And you come at it from this angle. You got it now? Mm-mm. All right, let's try it from this angle. And you start from this angle. And then you pray and you say, Lord, help me. I must not be doing it right. Help me to say it right. Give me utterance. Anoint me. Help me to present it in such a fashion that this person can relate to it. Don't lay it off on them and say, well, I said it clear as it could be said. Yeah, and did you get it the first time? No, you didn't. I'll tell you that right now, you didn't. I mean, you know, we used to have healing school open to the public, and Brother Hagin taught it for years, and I sit right here on the front row. I mean, session after session after session after session after session. I made pages and pages of notes. And then after that, I became involved. We have a video collection that we show people sometimes that have different problems in their body. And I was here when those videos were made. I was sitting right there in the chair when they made the video of Brother Hagin teaching. And I've heard some of those videos probably 50 times. You know, showing them to other people, going back over them. And sometimes, years later now, I'll be sitting there, and I'm watching that video, and I go, wow, look at that. And I say, Keith, of course that's me, you know. I say, were you absent that day? I go back and look, I had 4 pages of notes on that sermon. I said, you must have been asleep. You didn't hear that. I didn't get it. And I'd heard it not one time, not twice, not 5 times, 10 times, many, many times. But then I finally got it because I just kept hearing it. And so we need to at least be as patient with other people as some folk have been with us and as God has been with all of us. Amen? And the real thing, it boils down to this, do you love people? Do you love people? See, that's the thing that counts. If you miss that, you're going to miss this whole ministry. You got to love people. An older minister in these things told me when I first started in the ministry of healing, this was advice they gave me. They said, you got to love the people. That's the best advice I've received so far. Are you listening? That sounds simple. That sounds trite, so even to a lot of folk. But listen, that, if you miss that, you miss the whole ball of wax. You miss the whole thing. This is what's going to make you effective. Do you love the people? And healing is a manifestation of God's love. It's a manifestation of His compassion. You will never minister the healing power of God until you get in the love flow. God is love. His Spirit is a spirit of love. And when you follow after love, you're following the Spirit of God. And that same spirit of love is a healing spirit. There's a healing flow in the love flow. So we minister out of a heart of love by the Spirit of God to the spirits of men. Because faith is of the heart and divine healing is of the spirit. And that's the way we minister. That's what we're going to minister to you. That's the way that you're going to minister to those that God will send you to, is out of your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, in love, to people's, not their heads, to their spirits. Faith is not of the head, for with the heart man believeth, Romans 10:10 says. You don't believe God with your head. And a lot of times people will be trying to, and just ignore that, minister to their heart. Minister to their heart. Minister to their spirit. That'll help them. Now you minister differently when you're ministering by the Spirit, out of your spirit, to people's spirit. People will solicit a solical response from you by asking you questions, and coming to you from a mental standpoint, you have to learn to ignore that and respond out of your heart. Jesus did it. You'll find that Nicodemus came to him. He said, "We know you're ruler, sent, you know, you're a minister sent from God. Nobody can do the things that you do except God be with him." And he's going on and on. And the Lord just looked at him and said, "You must be born again." Now, it sounds like they're on two different frequencies, doesn't it? They are. See, Nicodemus is coming to him from the mental, soliciting a solical response from him. Jesus just cuts through all that and hits it straight in the heart and says, what your heart's crying for is you need to be born again. That's why you're here talking to me, because you're hungry and you want to be born again. That's what you need. So he didn't even know that's what he needed. He couldn't understand that with his head. And in dealing with people, helping them to be healed, you'll find that to be the case. A lot of times they don't know where to start. That's why they're coming to you. You're supposed to know. So you take charge and you start ministering to their spirit. And a lot of times you'll tell them things they've already heard with their heads time and time again. And they think they know it. They think they've got it, but they don't got it. They think they do, but they don't. And you just ignore their heads. Their head saying, "Oh, I know that. I've heard that." And you just ignore that and you shoot straight to the heart. And just keep saying the same thing by the Spirit of God. And it'll penetrate and it'll produce faith in the heart of the hearers. Now, how does faith come? It comes by hearing the Word. And the Word's a big subject, though. By hearing what Word? You know, if you just hear the Word concerning finances, is that necessarily going to give you faith to be healed? Give you faith to believe to receive finances? What about if you just hear, you know, the Word concerning the rapture? Or excuse me, the second coming. That give you faith to be healed? Not necessarily. You might could hook up some things with it if you knew enough of the Scripture, but you see, basically that in itself is not going to give you faith to be healed. If you need faith for healing, you need to hear what the Word says specifically concerning healing. Now, we've studied the ministries of healing in other people's lives. Of course, we've got one great example amongst us, Brother Hagin, and we've seen truths that he's used for 50 years. And he keeps using the same truths over and over and over and over and over. We've seen other ministers that came up during his time. Some of them are still with us, some of them are not. They use some of the same truths. We begin to examine that. We begin to look at the you know, there's just so much material in the Bible on the subject of healing. And of course, you could do so many different things with it because it's alive and the Spirit of God keeps bringing new insight and understanding from it. But there are still just so many passages, so many verses. And so as I was preparing and waiting on the Lord about this course, I said, "Lord, what? You know, there's so many things. I've taught on the subject of healing for years myself. And been watching ministries that had so much more experience than I, watching what they were using. And you know, as a young minister, you need to do that. You need to watch older ministers. You need to watch. They've been in it, you see. Brother Hagin's been at this for, you know, like I said, 50 years. And dear me, you know, you just learn a few things over that period of time. You just experience. You learn what works. And that's what I'm interested in, not just what sounds nice, not what you can put in a frame and hang on the wall and say, "Isn't that pretty?" I want to know what gets people healed. What produces faith in people to be healed? How do I know that when I'm spending my time on this, I'm not going a bunch of different areas and in shotgun fashion, and I might hit some points that would be good? I want to know rifle fashion. What can I hit to zero in on the bullseye and hit it square between the eyes every time? Are you interested in that? Amen. And I'm telling you, as we waited on the Lord gave us some things. And I've proven these things out. They produce faith. Not just telling you something that's experimental. They produce faith because of the Word of God. And so I want to give you 26 biblical reasons, infallible Bible proofs, why we are sure it is God's will to heal all today. Let me say that again. I want to give you over the next several weeks 26 biblical reasons, infallible scriptural proofs, why we are sure it is God's will to heal all today. Now you see, that's the issue. We said the number one area that you need to work on is producing faith. Number two is releasing faith. Let me say it like this, and I want you to remember this now. Let me say it like this. In other words, the number one reason we might say why people do not receive healing, we could set the negative. The number one reason why people do not receive healing is that they are not certain. They are not sure that it is God's will to heal them now. Number one. Now, I don't care whether you're talking about Baptist folk, Methodist folk, Pentecostal folk, Word and Faith people, charismatic people, makes no difference who you're talking about. This is still the number one area. You might say, yeah, but I mean, people in Word churches, they've heard. Yeah, they've heard. But a lot of times it's just a mental assent. They are not fully persuaded in their heart that it is God's will for them to be healed now. So just because, you know, you're dealing with somebody and you're teaching about it's God's will for you to be healed, they say, oh, man, I've been in the Word church for years. I know it's God's will for me to be healed. Here's a little rule of thumb. It's helped me. It'll help you, I think. How can I tell the difference between just mentally agreeing to the Word of God or somebody else just mentally agreeing with the Word of God and then really believing it in your heart? How can I discern the difference between those two? Here's a real simple rule of thumb. If it's old to you, it's not real to you. And if it's real to you, it's never old. If it's old to you, it's not real to you. If when you hear the truth of God's Word, you think, oh yeah, I know that. I've been knowing that a long time. No, you don't know it at all. I said, you don't know it at all. If it's old to you, you're just mentally assenting or agreeing to it. And faith is not of the head, it's of the heart. But you see, when the Word of God is real to you, it's never old. It's always exciting to you. Somebody says, let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. By His stripes you were healed. You go, yeah, glory to God. Yeah. But when you go, oh, I know that. I need some help though. I'm sick. No, no, in dealing with sickness day after day. I've had people time after time, you know, they think we're going to come up with something new that they've never heard before. They've been in the Word church for years. They come to healing school and they think, well, you know, they got some new revelation, some heavy revies, you know, and it's brand new stuff that's never been out before, and we're going to go there and get some new things because we need some help. And they come and we say, let's all stand up and confess, by His stripes I was healed. By His stripes, 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 I was healed. Wasn't that fun? Let's do it again. And people are thinking, I know that. And then after we've said it for 10 minutes, they think, I know this already. No, they don't know it at all. Are you listening? And so you've got to work on the Word from not a mental standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint. And the answer is the answer. Always has been, always will be. If you know 1 Peter 2:24, you know the answer to your sickness problem. That's it. You need look no further.
Yeah, I know that, but no, you don't know it at all. Or you wouldn't talk like that. See, it's old to you. It's not revelation to you. It's not real inside your heart. You need to say it a few hundred times till it dawns on your spirit, till you get convinced of it and fully persuaded that it is God's will for you to be healed now. That's the number one area to work on. It is God's will for me to be healed now, today. Now, when you get people convinced of that, man, you got the major part of the battle over. And that may take some doing sometime. It may take, you know, staying at it. Just teaching, teaching, teaching. What do I teach? We're going to give you 26 biblical reasons. Now, each one of these reasons that we're going to give you, you could teach days on it. We're going to have to just, you know, to bring it down and condense it and just give you some condensed versions of some of these things. But each one of these things is at least an hour or two sermon, you see. At least a whole sermon in itself. And of course, you could go much beyond that. But we've seen these things with our own eyes. We have seen these things produce faith in the hearts of people. We've seen it. We've seen people healed. We're not just giving you something that's a good idea. We're giving you things that have been proven in the lives of other ministries, Brother Hagin's ministries, ministries that we've observed in the healing ministry, and we've seen it in our own life, in our own ministry, in the sick room, in healing school. We've seen it. These things produce faith. Now, the number two area, we said, you know, number two is releasing faith. The number two area, or we could say it on the negative side, the number two reason why people don't receive healing, if they do understand that it's God's will for them to be healed, the number two area is that they don't understand faith. They don't understand that you got to walk by faith, not by sight. They don't understand that you got to believe that you receive now before you see it and feel it. Now, of course, that has to do with the subject of faith. We're not going to teach on that subject because you already have excellent teaching on the subject of faith. Amen? And so faith is the same in every realm. You apply the principles of faith in the area of healing just like you would any area that you already know about. Now, these two areas, I want you to remember, they're very significant that you remember this. Number one, most people are not healed. The number one reason that people are not healed is that they are not sure it is God's will for them to be healed now. That's the number one thing. Number one area to deal with in teaching healing is that God is willing, and it is His will that you be healed now, today. Now, the number one area is not to teach that God is able. Are you listening? Though that's good to teach that He's able. That's good to teach that. Now, sometimes, you know, we've emphasized one thing to the detriment of another. We think, well, it wouldn't be good to teach that God is able. Yes, it's good to teach that God is able. Faith comes by hearing. You can say, yeah, but everybody knows God is able. Well, to a degree, they know it with their head. But just like everything else, you see, unless you feed on it and unless you hear it, you can let it slip away from you. I tell you, it's good just to have a real good, simple sermon or teaching on the fact that God can do it. Amen? He can do it. Go back and show all the mighty things He's done and what He said, how that nothing is impossible with Him, how He can do anything. And meditate on those scriptures, man, it'll do your world a good. But you need to go on past that. You need to go on to believe that He is not only able and has the ability, but that He wills to do what you need to have Him do. Amen? And so that's the area. That's the number one area to work on. There's been some teaching on the areas that God can do it. You know, a lot of areas that people don't teach on other things, they teach, well, God can do anything. And that's good. Don't ever take anything away from people. Amen? You know, don't just because people don't teach everything that you teach, if they're teaching something that's good, I mean, praise God for it. Amen? There are a lot of people that teach and preach the new birth, and they teach and preach that God's able to do anything, and that they don't go much further than that, but thank God for that. Thank God for that. I mean, anybody, anywhere that's preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead, man, I'm for them. Anything I can do to help perpetuate that, I want to do it. If they're not teaching, you know, the baptism with the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues, if they're not teaching healing, well, maybe they just haven't seen the light, but they got this light. Thank God for it, man. They're going with that. I'm for them. And I'm not going to take anything away from them. I'm not going to put any stumbling block in their way. If they're teaching Jesus and preaching Jesus in any shape, form, or fashion that's biblical, man, I'm for them. If we can add something to them, hallelujah. If we can give them something, we can say, hey, not only is he the Savior, listen, buddy, he's the healer. He's the provider. He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And of course, people are always knowing that God's bigger than they know him to be. If they're honest and they're humble servants of him, they know he's bigger than they know. And of course, you know, you and I should know that. How many of you know that we, as charismatics, we don't know all about God? We got some truths maybe that some folk have, but how many know that there's some people around that may have some truths we don't have? No. Yeah. And besides that, none of us have it all. It's progressive. We're growing. God's revealing himself. We're going to see things that are going to be as revolutionary to us in our generation as divine healing has been, as baptism with the Holy Spirit has been, as God as our provider has been. Amen? We're growing. We're going. And so we're going to give you these things. We're going to show you these things from the Word of God. The author said this in your book, Christ the Healer. And by the way, we didn't go into detail, but I would like for you to read this book, Christ the Healer. It is not going to be a part of your grade. I said it is not going to be a part of your grade. It's not required for a grade, but I do ask you to read it. It's a very important book. It's a book that won't waste your time. I wouldn't give you a book that would waste your time. This book, I'm telling you, is a valuable classic on the subject of healing. You can read it again and again and again and again. It's going to help you. We'll see you next time. Bless you. We'll get into our reasons. And we just believe God that God's going to give you some good things, amen, to go out and set the captives free from sickness and disease. Bless you.